The Coffee Break Liberty Podcast, Episode 56. Hello and welcome back, everybody, to the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast with me, your host, Leo Sowers. Thank you again for joining us. I know it's been a while. In all fairness, not a whole lot has been going on, and I have been pretty busy with work and, well, the racing side of things. And again, it's going to be a lot of that this summer, but we're kind of getting to the dog days of summer where we're getting ready for the presidential campaigns, which is what we are going to talk about a bit today. But before that, I want to remind you guys about the store at CoffeeBreakLiberty.com. So if you go to CoffeeBreakLiberty.com, in the upper portion of the page, there's a store tab. And in that store tab, confirmed recently by my mother, you can buy a mug, some laptop cases, phone cases for cell phones they don't make anymore, t-shirts, stickers, you know, all the stuff you could ever want with the Coffee Break Liberty logo on them. And there are also other mugs with libertarian-esque and anarchist-type logos and symbology on them. So again, that is at the Coffee Break Liberty store at CoffeeBreakLiberty.com. But when you go to CoffeeBreakLiberty.com, I want you to wait around on the homepage there for about, I don't know, 10 to 15 seconds, and you should get hit with a splash for signing up for the newsletter. I'm telling you, sign up for the newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter, because two things are going to happen. You ain't going to get a newsletter, so don't worry about that. But what you will get is a discount code for 10% off of your first order at the CoffeeBreakLiberty.com store. So once again, go to CoffeeBreakLiberty.com, click on that shopping tab, and get yourself a mug. So as I alluded to earlier in the little intro there, we're going to talk a little bit about the presidential race, and we're also going to talk about the Libertarian Convention to an extent. There's a lot of inside baseball for the LP, and I'm going to give my opinion upon it and just kind of which way I'm leaning and why I will be doing what I will be doing. Not that anybody cares, because sometimes it feels like I'm screaming into the void. But through some recent encouragement from some regular listeners, I'm back behind the mic. And I'm going to tell you my opinion and why I think other libertarians, those in the party, should do so if they're in a state that allows it. But here we go. So a little background for those unaware and not really affiliated with the party. The party had its national convention, and that's where they pick their presidential candidate Memorial Day weekend. Through seven rounds of voting, Chase Oliver, who is a former Libertarian Party Senate candidate, U.S. Senate candidate in Georgia, and actually forced a runoff between, oh gosh, what were their names? They were two really awful candidates, and I lived in Georgia at the time, actually. Or I had just left, something like that. I can't remember. I think I had just moved there, but I moved there, and I couldn't vote because I moved there so late. That's what it was. Herschel Walker was the Republican. And that guy he's got more brain injuries than I do. So, you know, there we go. But less than John Fetterman. So, you know, there's that. And I can't remember the other guy. He was like a former pastor or something in the Atlanta area. And he was just some guy that wanted to give everything away and tax everybody. He was just that guy. And it was a very important race in 22, because that, if you guys remember, that senatorial round, I don't think the Senate flipped, but it got real close. There was no longer a supermajority. It was like an edge by one, and I think it went to the Democrats at the time. So this year, I don't know if there's many seats in danger for Senate races, I'll be honest. I'm not paying attention to that. The big one, of course, is the presidential race between, Biden, Trump, RFK Jr., and Chase Oliver. I don't know who the Green Party is running, but let's be honest, the Green Party gets less votes than Chase Oliver, so or less than the LP. So that's pretty bad, because it ain't going to be a good year for the LP. But anyway, so we selected the LP, through seven rounds of voting, selected Chase Oliver to be their presidential candidate, and the VP, so the VP is also voted on, the vice presidential candidate is also voted on by the delegates at the national convention. I forgot the guy's name. He's nothing special. He's a former cop. So let's start with that. I can't even remember the guy's name, but he's just some former cop that somehow ended up there. And it's very strange how these two very unimpressive people ended up with the, presidential nomination and vice presidential nomination. But that's the way it goes sometimes. You get enough unimpressive people versus one impressive person, but enough, because it's through seven, for the presidential, I don't remember the VP, but it was seven rounds of voting. And essentially you had enough unimpressive people where they were dropping out or losing, you would lose, and those votes were going towards the other unimpressive people. So there was just, it's a problem in the Libertarian Party. We're addicted to losing, and for some reason, a lot of people take pride in it. I understand the idea of, hey, just because I, fought on the losing side doesn't mean it was the wrong side. I understand that. But if you're constantly losing, and you're not losing by, it's not even close, and you're hardly, if ever, moving the needle. Like, a lot of libertarians will take credit for gay marriage, things like that. That whole civil part of the civil rights, whatever. And, look, we moved the needle. What do you mean you moved the needle? The LP was talking about that for 40 years before it became mainstream. You didn't move the needle. Don't take credit for that. Don't take credit for that. Weed decriminalization, right? They want to the LP wants to decriminalize marijuana and a lot of other drugs on general. I'm not going to speak for the party in that, but I know that like weed is kind of a big one, right? There's a lot of libertarians that are against that, against the criminalization of it, and they want to decriminalize it. Well, cool. You guys have been, okay. First of all, it's not the biggest issue in the world. I agree. Nobody's life should be ruined over a plant. That said, it is one of the issues with the least traction. Most people don't care about it, okay? You're decriminalizing something that most people don't care for anyways, right? I understand the argument of liberty and all that. I preach it, and I do want to see it decriminalized, but that's not a winning political platform. You're not moving the needle with that. Very few people are voting for a candidate ever based on that issue. It's not a winning strategy. I'm not saying it's not important, and it is very important to a lot of people that are incarcerated that shouldn't be. I know I'm getting off the rails here, but this is kind of all part of the bigger picture of the LP. But we're addicted to losing. And not only are we going to lose again, we're going to lose big. We're going to lose big. I worry this time that the party will lose ballot access. I will come back to that, because that is a argument I will come back to later. So Chase Oliver, I can't even remember the other guy's name. I think it's Mike something. The VP is Mike something. He's a former cop. Let's just stop there. I've been a Republican all my life except for the last 5 minutes, and I was a former cop, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, you're still a Republican. You're still a cop. Chase Oliver has been in the party since, oh gosh, I think 2014-ish. He's definitely one of the, how do you want to say, the left-leaning left-leaning libertarians. He has come out on record. I say on record. He's gone on his Twitter. And I don't want to get the quote totally wrong, but it doesn't really matter because the vibe is the same. You know, disavowing Ron Paul. It's like, you're disavowing Ron Paul? The whole liberty movement would be nowhere without Ron Paul. It exists in the state that it is today with millions and millions of people bound together because of Ron Paul. So disavowing that person is strange. He has come out in support of he's not come out, and I'll give him credit on this, he's not come out and like said the government should have vaccine mandates or things like that, but he has come out he's posted lots of social media photos and things of that, taking pride in him wearing a mask, running around looking like a clown in this thing. I'm social distancing, bragging about getting his boosters. And this is a sign of somebody that is easily manipulated. So let's just say, for argument's sake, it's not going to happen, but let's say this guy wins somehow, right? Let's say he's in the presidential, the Oval Office, he gets the office. If this guy is so easily influenced by the box in his living room that yells at him and tells him what to think, is this the kind of guy you want representing a party of, well, the people that are supposed to be, one thing we try to pride ourselves, we're the party of principle, and, we're a little cocky about it, but though we're maybe the most autistic, we think we're the most intelligent when we walk in the room, us libertarians. We carry ourselves high, and we look down on from our ivory tower of principles upon others. This is the guy that we're running? This guy that disavows Ron Paul? He's in favor of puberty blockers for children and believes that parents do not have to give consent. He willingly and joyfully brags about taking his kids or nephews or whatever to drag shows. This guy is kind of vile. He doesn't support, he doesn't believe a lot of the stuff I believe, but in some cases he does. He's very anti-war. He's very anti-government intervention. He's so anti-government intervention, he doesn't think the government should get in the way between youth and doctors, right? For puberty blockers. Now, as an anarchist, I agree with that. I don't think there should be a government. That said, I don't think doctors that are willing to do that without consulting the parents or whatever, they shouldn't even be willing to do that, in my opinion, with children. But any doctor that wants to do that, or, whatever, if that's the right choice, the parents should be consulted, if that makes sense, right? I don't think the government should be involved, but I also want doctors with a high enough moral standard to where they're just not going to be giving kids whatever the kids ask for. If the kids are having problems with certain things, especially like transgender issues, they're going to bring the parents in on this conversation. They're not just going to start prescribing them puberty blockers. That's in my perfect world, right? You don't need a government. You need moral people. You need people with a backbone. You need people that are going to stand up for what's right in the world, right? Because if a child, right, we're thinking a kid, a 14-year-old isn't old enough to get a tattoo. The state says they're not old enough to get a tattoo. And I don't think the state should be involved in that either. But I think the tattoo parlors should be self-governing themselves, you know, regulating themselves. Like, hey, no, we're not going to give tattoos to, you know, 14-year-old kids because they're dumb. We were all 14 once, unless I'm talking to somebody that's younger on this podcast, which would be kind of strange. I don't know why you'd tune in, but if you are, that's great. But I'm letting you know, if you're 14, you may think you got it all figured out now, but you're also, you don't. You don't. And in 10 years, when you look back to all those not 14-year-olds that are listening to this, because I know it's not happening, but we all know it, right? We've all been there. You look back at age 24, 34, however old you are, and you go, man, I was dumb when I was a kid. What was I thinking? And if I'm the only one that thinks that, well, I guess I'm the one that's messed up. But I know I was a dumb kid. I was a kid. Of course I was. That's part of being a kid. So we've got this presidential candidate that believes a lot of things that I don't believe. Now, like I said, there are a lot of things that he does believe. He believes that government should not get in the way of these things. Fine, sure, fair enough. He's also very anti-war, which is good. He's anti, you know, taxation, right? He wants to lower taxes, get rid of them entirely, whatever, something along those lines. He doesn't want the budget to explode, things like that. He's good on these things. But there's that 5, 10% of social issues that are concerning. Because, quite frankly, it's the signs of a degenerate. Some of the things this person does, Chase does, are just vile, in my opinion. Taking children to drag shows? I don't think the state should get in the way of that, but the community should. And those at the drag shows, it's just, we've all, you know, we haven't talked about it on here, but why would you want somebody expressing a sexual fetish around your children like that? Because that's what drag is. It's a sexual fetish, okay? That's what it is. Why do you want to expose your children to that? I mean, that is the only purpose for that. So, you know, yeah, sure, I don't think the government should get involved. Fair enough. I don't think the government should get involved, but the community should. That person shouldn't have children. If that's the way they're going to treat their children and the things that they think their children should be exposed to, they should not have children. They are a bad parent. And like I said, I don't even know if they're his kids or like nephews or whatever. If they're his nephews, he's a bad uncle. If they're his kids, he's a bad parent. I'll say it. Good parents, good uncles, don't do that to ones they love and care about. They don't expose their children to things like that. Purposefully. If it is by accident, that's one thing, and then they try to protect them from that and ensure and take measures to ensure it doesn't happen again. You don't go out of your way to do that. But no, that's who the LP has picked as their presidential candidate. He's good on gun rights. As far as I can tell, I've not dove into it too much, but these are things that he doesn't champion, right? Like, he's good on these things, but the things he focuses on are these insane, you know, like he'll talk more about puberty blockers and things like that than he will gun rights, than he will being anti-war, than he will about ending the Federal Reserve, than he will about the budget. The things that are higher on his priority list and he thinks that people want to hear more about, and that may be troubling because he may be onto something actually there. That may be a better winning argument, which is sad, but you're attracting or detracting, well, in this case, attracting degenerates. No good person wants to bring their kids or nieces and nephews or whatever to a drag show. Why do you want to attract these people? These are not good people. They have a moral failing, and they are failing the people they claim to love and care about. They are failing them purposefully. And that's who the LP has picked. The LP has picked the degenerate. And then here's the twist. If I vote, I'll be voting for the degenerate. I live in a state now, Tennessee, where Trump is going to win by 20 points or something crazy. It's not even going to be close. So me voting for who I think would do a better job, and that's the thing too. I still think Chase would probably do a better job anyways. So if I vote, we'll see if I vote. I'd probably vote for Chase anyways, but I'm making the argument that it is good for the party for ballot access. It's good to have the ballot access in the future. Hopefully we can get a good candidate, a better candidate to do, you know, to run in the future. And I'm hoping that, you know, with the ballot access, if we can keep it, you know, we'll have a better shot at having a better impact. You know, Gary Johnson wasn't great, but there was times when he was polling at 10%. Now, at the end, you know, when everybody went into that voting booth, he got, what, 5-something, 5.1, whatever it was. And then Joe Jorgensen didn't get much. She just wasn't very charismatic. I actually liked her. She just wasn't that charismatic. She had a hard time drawing people to her. Chase is going to have a much harder time. Chase is going to struggle. This whole left wing of the party has driven a lot of people away. And they use a lot of the same tactics, like, if you will, that the far left, the far left uses. Everybody's a fascist. Everybody's a Nazi. It's like, dude, what are you talking about, man? They just use these words. They throw them around. And then you ask for evidence and they point to something some one person said 3 years ago that you don't even know. And if somehow, because you're in the same quote-unquote wing as them, that means you're the same. You're guilty by association. And you don't even know this person. You don't even associate with them. So if I vote, and I'm making the case that if you are in a state where, you know, like if you're in California and you know that Biden is going to win California by millions and millions of votes, right? If you're in one of these states that's not a swing state, vote for Chase, I would say. If you're in the LP, you know, if you're trying to keep the ballot access, there's the argument there. But if you're in a state where it is close and you think one of those other two guys, or three, you know, if you really like RFK or somebody else, and you think one of those other guys, you know, vote with that. But I would make the case, I would make the argument that pragmatically, trying to be a pragmatist here, and I'm usually not, and I can understand why somebody would say, no, Leo, I'm not going to do it based on principle. I totally understand, because I've not voted for the LP based on principle before. But right now, I think the ballot access is more important. I know that my vote is pretty much useless in this state other than to help secure ballot access. That's the only reason to even vote in my state for me. It's not representing. Who cares if it's representing? The state goes Republican so hard. So hard. So I think the ballot access outweighs that. Especially, we don't even have, I don't think, senator, you know, people running. I think we got one person running for like a couple districts. You know, it's nothing crazy here in Tennessee. The LP is struggling here in Tennessee. It's struggling all over, but, you know, this is just another place where I've seen it struggle. But that's fine. It is what it is, and we'll get better at it. But I'm trying to make the case here for Chase, which I know. I spent the first 21 minutes not doing that. But the pragmatic vote, I think, in a state where it's not close at all, to help secure ballot access for the next go-around, vote for Chase. Vote for the degenerate. Because in the future, we will get that candidate that we wanted. We will get the person that's going to represent our values from the LP, or even, you know, myself, an anarchist. It's hard to even, I say libertarian when people ask me, because anarchist has such a negative connotation that you have to explain it. So I have to kind of lean into libertarianism, and then, you know, if people ask, and then I have to, like, okay, it's kind of this, but really I'm even further, blah, blah, blah. the LP will get that person. The LP will run that person one of these days. We almost did this time, but that person dropped out, and that was Dave Smith. I can't blame him for dropping out. I wish he would have stuck with it. I don't even know if dropping out is the right term, but he didn't go with it. So that's why I think voting to keep the ballot access is important, because we will get that candidate that expresses our values very well, is very articulate, very charismatic. It's not this go-round, not even close. But we will get that person. And I'm not saying they're going to take the Oval Office, but they're going to push the conversation. Chase isn't going to change the conversation. He's not going to push it. He's going to get maybe 1.5-2%. If he gets 2%, I won't do a backflip, but I'll be doing backflips in my head. I don't think he's going to get no 2%, though. So that's my case for Chase there. I know that rhymed. I thought about that all day. Getting the ballot access so in the future we can run someone better. All right, guys, that's about going to wrap it up here for me. But before I roll out, I want to remind you guys of the affiliate program that I am a part of. I'm actually a part of now a few more affiliates. But the main one that I always plug on here, I'll plug the others, though, in a moment. The main one that I always plug is Bluehost. If you've been listening to the podcast before, you know I talk about Bluehost, and you know I love Bluehost. Bluehost is the hosting service that hosts this podcast and website. Yeah, there's a website. We talked about it in the beginning of the show. It's at coffeebreakliberty.com. If you go there, at the top portion of the page next to the store tab, there's an affiliate tab, and it lists all my affiliates and all my discount codes. And if you use that link to sign up with Bluehost to get your website, and you should, because everybody should have a website, you're going to get a great rate with Bluehost, a great service. I'm telling you, these guys are great. They've been up with me at 2 in the morning trying to help me fix my website. 2 in the morning. Who cares? They cared. I cared. But really, nobody's going on my website at 2 in the morning anyways. But that's the kind of service you can get from Bluehost. And if you use my affiliate link, let me know about it, and you're going to get a plug on the podcast, on the social medias. So that's going to be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You're going to reach thousands of people right away with your new website if you use my affiliate link with Bluehost. Also in that affiliate tab, I have some other affiliates and discount codes with other vendors, motorcycle stuff. Woodcraft comes to mind. I think there's one or two more in there. But go check it out, too, if you're looking for some motorcycle stuff, some gear or parts. Hopefully those guys can help hook you up, especially if you're looking for tire warmers. That's a whole different thing. But, you know, the tire warmers from Woodcraft are top-notch, and they have great service. They actually just repaired a tire warmer for me. But I digress. And before I sign off again, I want to encourage you guys to, you know, like and share the show. We are on iTunes and we are on Spotify. Google Play is gone now. We're all sad about that. I really liked being on Google. But we are on iTunes and Spotify. Those are the big two. So go ahead, like the show, share the show with a friend. Let's get more people listening, more people involved with this. And go, of course, always check out the Facebook page. Coffee Break Liberty is the Facebook page. I don't post on there as much as I used to, but another place you can follow me is look for my dog, Gino the Liberty Dog. He hates politicians. He hates the ATF. He posts funny things all the time. But until the next time, guys, take care.